Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura, right? So we're looking at the afternoon edition for Monday the 6th of April, and honestly, this one's got range. We're talking robot orchestration at city scale, AI supply crunching under its own success, and some properly practical builder tools that actually solve real problems. Let me start with the robotics story, because this one's ambitious in the best possible way. Open Robotics just published their roadmap for the next generation of Open RMF. Now, if you're not familiar, RMF stands for Robot Middleware Framework. Think of it as air traffic control, but for robots sharing the same physical space: hospitals with delivery bots, warehouses with picker robots, airports with cleaning machines. All these devices need to coordinate without crashing into each other or blocking doorways. What's interesting here is that Open Robotics isn't just polishing the existing system, they're tearing it down and rebuilding it as modular pieces: traffic planning, task planning, execution layers, dashboards. Each component can be swapped out independently. And this is the bit that really matters. It means you're not locked to one vendor's traffic system. A hospital deploying robots can mix and match implementations. One team handles traffic, another handles task allocation, a third builds the dashboard. They all talk to each other through standard interfaces, but no single vendor owns the whole stack. The rollout is staged, 6 phases, starting with traffic management, then moving toward task planning, infrastructure interaction, and eventually peer-to-peer traffic negotiation. That last bit is wild: robots deciding between themselves who goes first at an intersection. But the vision here is scale. Not just one building, they're designing this to work at factory scale, airport scale, even city scale operations. Multiple robot types, multiple vendors, all orchestrated through a framework that stays open. If you're thinking about automation in shared spaces, this is the infrastructure layer that makes it possible without vendor lock-in. Worth keeping an eye on. Okay, so, completely different corner of the tech world now, but this one's uncomfortable in a revealing way. Azeem Azar just published his latest analysis, and the headline is, AI is running into a supply crunch, but it's not the crunch you'd expect. Token prices have never been lower. OpenAI cut their API costs dramatically. You'd think that's a pure win, cheaper intelligence for everyone. But here's the thing: demand is rising 2.5 times faster than supply can scale. OpenAI processed 15 billion tokens per minute in April, that's up from 6 billion in October. Anthropic is cutting session limits for pro users. Google's ancient TPUs, we're talking 7-8 years old, are running at full utilization. OpenAI is turning down opportunities because they physically can't handle more load. This is the Jevons paradox applied to intelligence. Cheaper compute creates more demand creates a bottleneck. And that bottleneck doesn't show up in price. It shows up in availability. You can afford the tokens, but you can't always get them. The economics look good on paper. More volume, lower margin, sustainable growth. But the squeeze is real, and it's hitting users hardest. Slower responses, tighter rate limits, features turned off during peak hours. The takeaway? Cheap tokens don't mean abundant tokens. The infrastructure is struggling to keep up with the demand that cheap pricing created. Something to think about if you're building on someone else's API. The cost might be low, but the reliability might not hold. Right, let me lighten things up a bit with a tool that actually solves a proper annoying problem. So there's this developer who got sick of re-screenshotting their app every time they made a UI change. They've got 190 app themes. Every update means regenerating screenshots for the App Store, the website, social media, documentation, manually, over and over. They built a workflow that automates the whole thing. Here's how it works. They're using Maestro for mobile UI testing, so the app can be driven programmatically. They set up deterministic seed data, so the app always displays the same content when screenshots are taken. Then they use Remotion, which is a tool for programmatic image generation, to render the screenshots as code. Every time the codebase updates, the screenshots regenerate automatically. They stay in sync with the app, they stay in the codebase, and they flow out to the App Store, the website, everywhere they're needed. No more manual re-exporting, no more screenshots drifting out of date. This is the kind of builder work I love. It's not flashy, it's not a moonshot, it's just... Someone looked at a tedious, repetitive task and thought, why am I doing this by hand? And then they built the thing that stops them having to do it by hand ever again. If you've got a similar pain point in your workflow, this approach is worth borrowing. The tools are open. The logic is transferable. It's just good engineering. Now, this next one's for anyone building RAG systems in production. And I mean properly in production. Not demos, not proofs of concept. There's a new guide out covering the full architecture of retrieval augmented generation. Vector types, dense, sparse, hybrid, embedding models, re-ranking strategies, chunking approaches. all the bits you need to make this work when real users are hammering it. But the valuable part isn't the happy path. It's the section on what goes wrong. Hallucinations, context window limitations, retrieval degradation when your knowledge base scales, security risks when you're pulling in external data. These are the things that break RAG systems in the wild. The guide walks through multi-stage retrieval, monitoring frameworks, how to catch when your embeddings are drifting, how to handle queries that don't map cleanly to your stored knowledge. This is not beginner material. This is for people who've already built a RAG system, and now they need to make it reliable. If that's you, this one's worth the read. It's detailed, it's practical, and it assumes you already know why you're building this in the first place. Okay, last one. And this is genuinely charming. A developer built a tiny language model from scratch, 9 million parameters, vanilla transformer architecture, 60,000 synthetic conversations, about 130 lines of PyTorch. It trains in 5 minutes on a free Colab instance. And the whole point is to teach people how language models actually work. The model has a character. It's a fish. The fish talks to you. And through that interaction, you can see the core behaviors of a language model playing out in real time. Pattern matching, next token prediction, how temperature affects randomness. It's open source. It's forkable. You can customize it. Swap in your own training data. Change the character. Experiment with the architecture. This is the kind of project that makes something intimidating. Approachable. You don't need a massive GPU cluster to understand transformers. You don't need a PhD. You just need a working example small enough to hold in your head. If you've ever wanted to understand how these things work under the hood, this is a brilliant starting point. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The robotics world is designing for modularity and scale. The AI world is hitting infrastructure limits hidden beneath cheap pricing, and the builder world is shipping practical tools that solve real, specific problems, three very different spaces. But the common thread is, we're past the hype phase. People are dealing with the actual constraints now, vendor lock-in, supply crunches, tedious manual work that automation should have solved years ago, and honestly, that's when things get interesting, because that's when the real solutions start shipping. Something to think about this week. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.